This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get your free audiobook download today.
Colonel Perry, we killed an innocent man.
What do you suggest we do, Woodward? Let that reporter run off with one of our Unisols?
We can't just cover this up.
In order to kill her. And now you must fulfill that order, Private. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Additional support for this episode comes to us from Brett Siegel, Andreas Ekberg, and Matthew Likens. This episode is for you. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack, the show that mines the depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson. This is episode 67 of Film Sack. We were off for a week. We apologize, but we're back! Joined this week by Brian Ear Necklace Dunaway.
Hi. Unisol, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, eggy head, stuffy head fever, so you can shoot some yellow skin traitors in the head medicine. Mm. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. You got a necklace full of ears.
Gross. That kept coming up, too. Also, you heard him before, you'll hear him again. Randy, this program is off the shelf, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Did you know that I learned how to use a knife and fork to feed myself by observing the behavior of an old man in a leather fetish cowboy hat? Mm-hmm. That is also how I learned how to please very old women.
Gross. Awesome. And then rounding it off today, we have Mr. Brian Unisol Ibbett.
So the Unisol gets two mentions this morning. That's awesome.
Maybe a third, depending on what you say, but go ahead.
Maybe a third. So I decided I'm actually going to start my own Universal Soldier program. So I went over to the Home Depot, and I had to figure out, I got to figure out some way of getting the guys, like, on the bus, right, or getting them, like, hooked up on the bus. So I picked up some Universal mounts, and then I needed some way to charge them up, so I picked up some Universal power adapters. And then once they're out in the field and I need a way to give them their orders, I picked up some Universal remotes.
Oh, dude, nice. Universally. You just hired Universal Soldiers at Home Depot from like
I pulled up the pickup truck area. And honked. Yeah. And they just come running up naked from the hotel next door.
Were you all just a little bit disappointed that this wasn't a Universal Pictures joint?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of was. I kind of thought that would have been a nice little tie-in, but that didn't happen. We are, of course, talking about Universal Soldier, and this was not the last. This was the first of many terrible, terrible movies. But that doesn't mean this first one was all that bad. We'll talk about that in a second. Scott Fletcher weighed in on his thoughts. Well, really, he just read the description of the film. Not much more than that. But I'll go ahead and play that if it is ready to be played. And it sure is. Here it is.
Universal Soldier. Deep within a government complex, dead soldiers are resurrected as superhuman cyborgs. When the experiment spirals out of control, only the original Universal Soldier can take on this elite army of unstoppable killing machines. Packed with Borg-crunching combat, this sci-fi actioner traces the saga of Luc Devereaux, played by Jean-Claude Van Damme, against the backdrop of strippers, kickboxing, guns, motorcycles, and computers. Dolph Lundgren also stars.
I think this is regeneration description, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't think that's the right description. There's no strippers.
I don't remember
in this
any
one.
Strippers.
The original Universal Soldier, I mean, they were all the first. Yeah, you must have read the wrong description.
Well, let me take a look. Hold on. This would be kind of funny. Because in the Universal Soldier Regeneration is when a Chechen Islamic extremist threatens the
really?
World. Yeah.
Well, maybe it was one of the other three sequels that they had.
Deep within the government complex. Yeah, no, he read the right one.
Did he really?
Yeah, but where's the
strippers?
I don't know.
Maybe
it may be the right description, but it's I mean, he may have read the description from the right page in Netflix, but it doesn't fit the film.
That's too weird. Anyway.
Oh, it's not on Netflix. Well, I guess it would be for the
movie. I mean, it's on Netflix rental, but yeah. Anyway, this, and we should clear that up. This movie, when we first put it on our list, was available via streaming on Netflix, and it is no longer there, although somebody told me it was on Amazon. I didn't confirm. So for you Prime owners out there, you may be fine to do that. But we had to get it other ways, and we didn't want to miss it because Universal Soldier is one of those movies that FilmSac is it's mandated to watch. When in our charter, it states mm-hmm. you must see Universal Soldier sometime during the lifespan of the show. So that's what we're doing. We don't have a charter. We don't have any of that.
Yeah, in the dictionary under FilmSac, it shows a movie still from Universal Soldier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. And if you ask me, we needed at least one more Van Damme movie on our list of Van Damme, movies we've covered. Yes. So this counts. So how many is this now? You got the Street Fighter.
But we still have Dolph Lundgren outpacing Jean-Claude Van Damme, right?
Oh, good point. So okay, so think about that. Retrograde, the Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh yeah, that's right. The preacher dude.
What, wasn't he in something else? Has he only been in two?
No way. No, he's been in like 20 FilmSac films.
He's been in every movie I've seen with FilmSac.
I think it may only honestly be two, but Jean-Claude Van Damme had the Street Fighter, the Sudden Death, this, and Time Cop. So I think he's killing him.
And yeah. And if there's anything we know about FilmSac, it's that we're pretty tight with our genres, and this film fits them all.
Yeah.
This is the rare film where you can call it action, you can call it adventure, you can call it a travel film, you can call it a Western. It takes place all over the Western United States. You know, there's a bit of romance going on.
Bromance, comedy. Even. Oh, no, just romance. No bromance.
There is some comedy. There's definitely some horror elements.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Ears. Yep. I'd lend me your ears for the horror movie we just watched. there was also some that definitely had kind of... It's 92, but it's kind of an 80s carryover in a lot of ways for action films. It was also Roland Emmerich's first directorial film to be of any major worth in Hollywood. And he went on to do my favorite movies of all time, 2012, Independence Day.
Oh, Independence Day.
Godzilla. What else he do? He did a Day After Tomorrow. Or what is
the
it?
The Patriot. Yeah,
the Patriot.
Patriot, can we do that?
Yeah. You know what? I hopefully people sense the sarcasm.
Oh, Stargate.
I'm not a fan of any of his movies, including Stargate. I think Stargate is a wonderful concept. Better realized in the television series, horribly wasted in the film. The first 20 minutes of that movie are awesome, and the rest of Stargate is dumb.
What about The Patriot?
The Patriot is a Saturday afternoon special until they're fighting, and then it's awesome, and then it's a Saturday afternoon special again when they're talking. Anytime anybody's talking in that movie, despite, decent actors and Mel Gibson when he wasn't crazy, or we didn't know it yet anyway.
Right. The Patriot's a film that I wanted it so badly to be better than it is, but, it's got so many things in common with Braveheart and comes after Braveheart. So it's really hard to kind of set it aside in your mind.
Agree.
Yeah, it
agree.
Felt really similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie we're talking about this week is is all those other movies. you guys know my hatred of Independence Day, and you know how I feel about the new 2012. I thought that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
But
10,000 BC was awful.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh,
I haven't seen that yet.
About that. But there is a taste of all that in this a little bit for me, and I think it's the things I had trouble with in Universal Soldier. Are the things I have trouble in all his movies, which are, I don't think he's very good at directing actors. I think the actors just don't give their best work, even if they're decent actors. Even if you get Jerry Orbach for 5 minutes, you should get more out of him than they got here. He just monologued and it was terrible. And there's a bunch of bad lines. When I play the clips, you'll all agree. Listening audience, you'll hear these and go, dude, this is bad. But...
Emmerich may have an idea... of what looks cool through the camera lens, but he doesn't have an idea of what is cool. Like what makes you think, wow, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like he's not bad at framing a shot. Yeah. But when you see Jean-Claude Van Damme regenerating his flesh, you think, oh, wow, that's cool. Like I should get more of that. I should get to appreciate that as a viewer. And Emmerich doesn't think it's cool because he only shows it to you for a split second.
Yeah. Yep, that's a good way of putting it. I will say this, just in all fairness to the man, of all his movies and all his disaster movies in particular, I think it's Day After Tomorrow that I like the most. I thought that was a little more subdued, a little better acted. I like the pacing a lot better than most of his movies. It wasn't just downright ridiculous. A lot of it is, but it wasn't like 2012 ridiculous or Independence Day ridiculous. And
well, see, I'm not with Scott with all this. I don't know how you guys feel, but I like all of those movies. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm like, oh, I got to watch Independence Day ever, but as far as just having a good ride, this guy brings me a good ride every time I see one of his movies.
I mean, they're all popcorn movies. They're movies you go in with lower expectations, know you're going to get some great action, some very unbelievable footage, you know, things that, that are physically impossible. He's the Angry Birds of filmmaking. He is.
Well, see, it's like Independence Day. Like, I was so pissed off when they were uploading the virus. I'm like, oh, I'm so pissed off. They're so stupid. Yeah. But he makes me forget so quickly. It's like, oh, look at that. That's cool.
Could someone write down that quote? Roland Emmerich is the Angry Birds of filmmaking.
I might. Can I use that for my Twitter? I'm writing it down right
now.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely perfect. Because, like, for instance, my favorite Emmerich film is Independence Day. Mm. And saying that something is your favorite doesn't mean it's good. Like, it's still like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I love Angry Birds. I've probably played that more than any other game on my iPhone over the last year, easily, actually. But it's still not a great game. It's, you know, it's just borrows from all these other games. And it's, you know, so it might still be like a 7 out of 10. But it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy it.
Well, it's often said Angry Birds is the Nolan Emmerich of video games. So I don't know if you've heard that.
And we heard that later from Ibbot. But Ibbot. If we were all in a room together right now and you guys said, let's watch Godzilla, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
With you guys, yes. Oh, my gosh, yes. In fact, load them up. Let's get the 5-disc changer playing everything Emmerich ever made together, because that sounds like fun. But me on my own, like, oh, yeah, let's sit down and watch Godzilla. No. No. No interest in that. But you make a good point. And maybe, I know we're doing this. 2012 is a bonus sack. That is happening.
Yeah.
I'm told that Tom Merritt will be joining us for that. So, because he loves that movie.
Yeah, I think any of these would be great. Any of his movies would be great. Yeah. Film sack.
And by the way, Scott Fletcher, and I forgot the movie, but he's got a movie in mind for us to watch all together. Well, he'll be in on it. And I can't remember what it is.
Maybe a Nerdtacular?
No, something else. He's not sure he's still coming or not. But anyway, we'll figure it out.
Is it Avatar?
No. It's something he just loves to hate and thinks that he should be. I can't remember what it was. Crap. Anyway, I'll figure it out. Before the end of the show, I'll look it up. Anyway, so Universal Soldier, 1992. Roland Emmerich. Writers Richard Rothstein, Christopher Leitch, and one other dude. Starred Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, and Ali Walker. Can we talk about Ali Walker for a second, since I'm kind of famous on the show for having women problems in movies?
Oh, my God. Hold on.
Does she look like your mother?
Hold on. Before Scott gives his opinion, I just want you to know, Scott, I love you. Yeah. You're my brother.
Yeah.
I hated her so much. I was
really.
I have never been so birth controlled by a role played by a woman. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make love to my wife for a while.
Whoa!
Like, seriously, like that's what I. So like, you can. I just want you to know, whatever you have to say about her, I'm with you.
Okay. Well, it's not as bad as you think. However. Most people, well, I shouldn't say most people, a lot of people may know her work from a lot of directed DVD stuff, but also she was in that NBC show called The Something Something, where she could kind of, she could see flashbacks and stuff and then the solve crimes. Ah,
the
crap.
Something Something.
Whatever,
you know,
it was
what?
Called. Dang it. Awesome. I have to look it up. Anyway.
Ali Walker was in, what was it? I just talked about this 5 minutes ago. My wife.
Are you talking about Profiler?
Profiler.
Profiler. Yeah. Profiler.
Didn't she have she had like some kind of weird sixth sense or something where she could?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was the lead. Yes. She was the. She won some awards.
Here's her problem, or here's my problem. Ibbot's not too far off the bat here. Her mouth is my mom's mouth.
Really?
Yeah. And it's kind of a caricature of my mom's mouth. So it really sticks out of the screen. You watch it and go, oh my gosh, like my mom's talking to me again in the movies. Some woman is looking like my mom. That's the one Freudian thing. But also, her mouth's just weird. It's like half stroked or something. Like, I can't tell where she's hanging off to the left. I don't know what she's doing there. So I don't find her in the least bit attractive. But my bigger problem is she's just obnoxious because she was basically handed the and this is an award for later, so I'm kind of spoiling this. But she was kind of handed the speed role of Sandra Bullock in a way.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, she's the goofy, ditzy, oh, how did I get wrapped up into this? But now I'm in it for the long haul, kind of I'm going to fall in love with you deal at the end. And
against her, since we've seen Speed, and now we're watching her in this, and she is so vastly inferior to Sandra Bullock.
No, in every possible way. Mm-hmm. By the way, I do not. There's nothing about Sandra Bullock that reminds me of my mom, and I have always been incredibly attracted to Sandra Bullock. I just want to get that out. She's fine. She's fine, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, she's fine.
Who else? Edel Ross, Jerry Orbach shows up for seriously like 5 minutes. My favorite is Ralph Mueller. And this guy, he played the GR-76 model of the soldier. Mm-hmm. This guy was
the short one.
Was he short? I don't know. I think he was pretty big. Anyway, he's
seeing him between Dolph Lundgren and Tiny Lister. And so, yeah, he looks short.
All right. He does look a little short, but this guy was huge size-wise in Gladiator. And I remember really liking him in that. And kind of every time he shows up in a movie, I kind of root for the dude. I think he's cool. Way underused here. They could have really done something here where, you know, maybe he was like the last second, I'm going to do the right thing robot soldier who could have saved the day or something. Before he died, but nope, just got shot in the face in the truck. But anyway,
okay, I'm mistaking him for another one of the soldiers, the one played by Eric Norris.
Oh yeah, he's a tiny little man.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. By the way, biggest thing I couldn't stand about the movie: the one guy got shot in the face and he dies. I'm like, that's all. That's all it took.
Right in the eye, though.
That's right. He's a resurrected soldier.
Oh,
but,
oh my gosh. Soldier? I thought you meant the colonel. Yeah, the colonel. No. The colonel's coming right in the lens.
Some of the soldiers get burned alive. Like, they get, you know, these guys are jumping out with fire extinguishers, going, "We just got to put out the fire. They'll be fine. They'll be fine." And they all crispy and black.
Yep.
They have Achilles' face.
Yep. Achilles' face. All it took was like three bullets to the face, and out went went Ralph Mueller.
Out goes GR-76.
He's just a tough looking. Kind of just a badass.
Yeah,
he should be in more things. I'll bet you that guy could have been, if you were going to do a Terminator in the 90s that mattered, besides early 90s, you could have put him in there.
Yeah,
and he was
or
German,
Rocky movie,
so,
or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But he's got the German accent. He could have done all that, and he hardly even talked here. But anyway, if you don't know who I'm talking about, there's a gladiator in Gladiator that early on fights with what's his face, Beautiful
Russell
Mind.
Crow.
Yeah, and. They're doing the wooden swords, and he kind of gets respect for him after a little while or whatever, and you'll know who I mean. He is just awesome. But anyway, just want to throw him out there. And there are a bunch of other people that really didn't have, I don't hardly know any of these people. Like Tommy Tiny Lister, little history on him, Randy. Who is that guy? Because he was...
So he appears as the bad guy named Zeus in the Hulk Hogan movie No Holds Barred. And the next thing you know, he is working for the WWF as... Hulk Hogan's big antithesis for a while, and then it launches this acting career. So he was, obviously he was the president of the Galaxy in Fifth Element. He was on the first episode of Star Trek Enterprise.
He was in Dark Knight here recently.
He's the guy who grabs one of the detonators on the boats and throws it out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's cool.
Yeah. So, he was in Friday. I'm going to mention that movie every week until Scott watches
until
it.
Until we watch it.
Until we see it.
Yeah. All right.
But
I love that. That's a good approach.
Yeah. The president from Fifth Element. Everybody loves him. He's like one of these guys that everybody, wants to hang around with and find a way to get him into their film.
Well, he's responsible for that moment in The Dark Knight where we all learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, he throws it out there and says, "What y'all should have done since, whatever." And we all walk away going, "Oh, thanks, Tiny." Yeah. Thanks a lot. He has weird eyes, though.
He's blind in his right eye. So,
oh.
So like a movie like this one's awesome because
nice
they were
job,
able to cover
Scott.
way to
what
go.
What is the dickiest thing you can say to a blind guy? Your eyes are weird.
So his right eye is messed up. So this movie was perfect because they could cover it. And then because of the fact that they were putting it over the left eye on everyone, you might notice when you on, they've shot it backwards. There's like a really? Couple of scenes where they mirrored it, and you can see in the background, you can see things backwards.
Yeah. Huh. He is a huge dude. Yeah. All right, so there's that guy, and I like him a lot. So, you know, a fun kind of muscle-bound, interesting cast, I thought. The acting was pretty terrible. Here's just some trivia to chew on before we get to the film proper. The two, the young couple at the beginning, from in Vietnam.
Yes.
Same couple showed up again at the dam incident. Apparently, they used the same two actors.
So, did they really? Yeah. I knew it was flashbacks. Which, I thought they looked similar.
Same exact people.
Which is, what a useless thing, because it's not like, you know, it's a plot device where, oh, these people are from the past too. We're going to use that. It's like, no, we really could only find two Korean people.
Exactly.
It's this too role. Funny.
In all of Hollywood 92.
I didn't even notice it, though, is the bad thing. What does it say about me?
It was supposed to be Vietnam, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
69?
Yeah, and he kept bringing it up. Remember back in Nam, he kept yelling and all that.
I was bothered by the whole thing. Like, this film was made after the TV show China Beach, and Vietnam looks so much more realistic in China Beach than it did in this movie.
Yeah. This was cartoon Vietnam, for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It looked like they'd gone and filmed it in Southern California and pretended that it was Vietnam.
No.
All right, everybody. Pretend it's Vietnam.
Right.
All right.
And then, and then everyone in the 1969 parts had haircuts from the 1980s.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the early... whatever, the early 90s parts had haircuts from the 70s.
Mm.
I was upset by
and
all
Jerry
that.
Orbach remained about 60 years old through about 25 years of time passing.
Yes,
that was
did.
Amazing.
Nobody
really
puts
impressed.
Baby in the corner.
I mean, I understand soldiers being preserved because of this whatever process this is. That makes sense in the mythos of this whole idea of super soldiers and whatnot and coming back from the dead. But regular people kept showing up that were clearly the same age. Like, they didn't even bother to make him up or do
right,
like
make
the,
him look younger.
Once again,
older, right?
Concentrating too hard.
Look, I know you like this movie, Brian, but I say a collective F you in your direction and say that I'll say this about this movie. I had a ball watching it because I knew I was going to get to talk to you guys about it. But I think I had a distinct feeling in the back of my head, like a little goblin in the back of my head kept going, oh, yes, but if you're watching this on your own, you would be hating this and you would stop it in the middle and go away and not watch the rest. And I kind of really feel that way. Like, it's just really? Not very good. And when I saw it in 92, I remember not feeling like it was very good. I remember kind of coming away from it going, oh, this is just like kind of direct to DVD. I can't believe it made it to the theater. And of course, you know, the next four iterations went straight to DVD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't know, like, two has really bad reviews. Two doesn't have...
As opposed
have,
to one.
Two, is it two? Or maybe three. Anyway, they replace him and the girl, but they're all the same characters, just new actors.
Yeah.
That's always bad.
Now, have there been four total release? Because I'm seeing in the related news on
there
IMDb that Universal Soldier 4 announced at EFM. So are they redoing 4?
Yeah. Well, see, two, they don't count 2 and 3 because it was straight to DVD and they totally ignore it. And then there was one that Van Damme came back in and now there's a reboot.
Well, the Van Damme one was in 09. It's the one he says he chose over that Stallone
deal.
Oh,
the Expendables. Yeah.
Expendables. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means, but according to IMDb, there is Universal Soldier, A New Dimension in 2011. Is that the one they're redoing?
That's the new one.
Okay, because there was Universal Soldier, The Return in 99. Before that, there was 2. Mm-hmm. So maybe we're on maybe this is the fifth, I guess.
Yeah, the fifth one's coming up. There's been 4 so far.
Fifth one stars Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren. They're both attached.
2 and 3 don't count.
I hope that they're old men that permanently attached to some kind of weird throne-like wheelchair with like electrodes connected to them where they're controlling the future war against each other. That would be awesome. I would watch that. Anyway,
I don't think I would.
That'll be shite.
I have to go on the record.
Be good.
This was the very first Universal Soldier film I have ever seen.
Mm, and today. Last, probably.
Probably, yes.
Really?
unless we make you see another one, right?
You know what? It's okay for what it was, which is a film sack movie to make fun of. But I don't feel like it was much more than that. Like, it just isn't, it's just not very good, dude.
I don't know. The production quality was fine, and it was just cheesy, and I thought it was perfect.
So in 09, they were together again. I didn't realize this. Okay, so the Universal Soldier regeneration in 09.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He came back as Luke Devereaux. Lundgren came back as Andrew Scott. Mm-hmm. Really? After he got blown to chunks in the shredder?
Shredded apart. I'm assuming it's some it said regeneration. That's what they probably took his little chunks of pieces and they, you know, put them in a bucket. Yeah.
Spoiler, he gets put in the chipper. Is that your friend back there in the chipper? Or not really
that
a chipper.
Was my
that
was my twin brother.
Exactly. Mm. And also had the worst one-liner in the movie, which was, where is he? And he goes, this is after he got blown to chunks. And he goes, where is he? Yeah. And he goes, around. It's like, come on.
It makes sense that you can redo this because it's all about genetics. This is not a cyborg kind of film or anything. The only cyborg part of it is the fact they wear cameras on their heads. They don't use any of that for enhancements.
Right. Yeah, it's not even built in, right? They're just cameras.
Yeah. It's just cameras with headphones. So, I mean, all that is just a way to communicate with the soldiers. So they're just genetic superheroes, so, basically.
Yeah. It reminded me of, what did we just see with the cameras in the head? The Dean Cain movie.
Future Sport.
Yeah, they have those. So this is the first, the very first screenplay was initially called Crystal Knights.
Which is awesome.
No idea. Isn't that a video game development company? I think it is.
I was going to say, isn't that a movie with Gregory Hines and Mikhail Baryshnikov?
Yeah, where they make, video games.
That's right.
Though they are all supposed to be American, the Universal Soldiers are played by a Belgian, Van Damme, a Swede, Lundgren, and a German, Ralph Möller.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It should have been called
International Soldier.
Right.
Yeah. I actually needed a bad accent to English dictionary to understand most of this movie.
I'm gonna stop you there though and say Dolph Lundgren did not phone it in. I feel like this may have been his greatest attempt in his career at actual acting and also trying to eke that American accent out as hard as he could. He didn't always succeed, but it wasn't too bad. And this was also Dolph Lundgren still in that chiseled Russian-looking boxer prime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right before it all went to hell.
Yeah.
Because literally, I mean, we had, what was the one we did? Demonic was like 6 years later.
Oh, Demonic. Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, he was starting to look, right.
You know what I'm saying? Started to look pretty rough by then. So I don't know what happened. The steroids finally quit working.
Yeah, but it was all that muscle enhancers that he was using during this movie.
It was just right into his heart.
Universal steroids?
Yeah, universal steroids.
Brought to you by Universal Steroids. So anyway, I just thought he looked really good, and I thought he acted well, and he looked formidable, and it's the one thing about the movie I think I liked the most is Lundgren.
Come on, you got to admit though, the second unit direction wins again with this opening movie. You don't think it was a little better than the rest of it?
The opening,
yeah, a little better acting,
maybe. I don't know.
It was rough though. I was bothered by it. Like I felt Vietnam like this could part. Be better.
There was a lot of whispering, and Van Damme just kind of sucks. You know, he's just not good at this.
No, you get Van Damme. You don't get an actor. You get someone who can read the lines more or less.
Oh, you guys were thinking this was going to be a real movie.
Oh, that's where we made our mistake. That's, I get it.
You get morons.
No wonder. No way I didn't enjoy this movie. What the hell's wrong with you people?
I don't think that's the point, though. I think that you have a huge body of work to draw from in constructing the part of the movie that's going to draw the viewer in, right? The beginning is Vietnam War stuff. Mm. And you have to improve on what other people have already done. But at that point, there's dozens of great films and TV shows that have kind of given you a playbook. And how could you not even rise to that?
I'm glad you mentioned not Miami Beach. What was it called?
China Beach.
China Beach. That's such a great show. Loved that show when it was on. But I mean, this felt like, okay, so the introduction was basically just torn out of Apocalypse Now. It was like saying, all right, let's take crazy, what's his name? And let's take that idea. And now look at this. He's making ears into a necklace. Oh, he's gone crazy. Mm-hmm. And that felt like a lift to me from that whole idea. And they, you know what? It was fine. It was great. That little fight was okay. But IMDb pissed me off. Their description that they use on their header says this about the movie. Luke and Scott were killed in Vietnam, but the army has a secret project for reanimating dead people as near perfect soldiers. So that's it, by the way.
Yeah.
A, the army had nothing to do with it. It was off the shelf. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. And B, they forget to mention that they killed each other. They didn't just die in Vietnam. Like, why, after that aftermath and knowing what you'd know forensically about what happened there, why would you get these two in there? Well, I guess we wouldn't have a movie, but you know what I mean? Like,
well, my favorite thing in that whole scene is the that this crew of soldiers shows up to find out what happened here. And they're trying to figure it out. And one of them's like, all right, we're just going to cover this up and we're going to use the bodies. Put these guys on ice. And I wanted one of the other guys hearing it to go, where the fuck are we going to get ice?
Yeah.
We're out in the jungle in Vietnam. What do you mean put them on ice?
Yeah.
There's a 7-Eleven right there.
And then the whole movie is filled with ice.
Yep.
There's ice in every scene.
You have to keep these guys cool.
I think Roland Emmerich had a deal with some ice maker.
I think he was holding back till day after tomorrow when he really got to use the ice. Then he really let it loose. Let's see. Time for a trope. And I don't have my trope ready. Now I do. Allie Walker character in general, just to reiterate, she is herself a trope, and she really needs to stop smoking. This is part of that period Randy always brings up about, you know, before smoking kind of went out of vogue in movies. Man, she smoked, just constantly smoking, smoking.
The first thing you see on her, I mean, she's, you know, driving to the scene of the...
she's driving in the Griswold family car.
The truckster, yes. Cigarette dangling out of her mouth, which she doesn't take until a half a second before she's on camera.
So if y'all want to know what my mom looks like with a cigarette in her mouth, just crop out the rest of the thing, put your hand up on the screen, and look at her mouth with a cigarette in it. That's it. That's my mom smoking.
Now, see, I thought she was cute, but you continue week after week to ruin cute women for me.
I'm trying. Although
don't do a Google image search, by the way, on Allie Walker.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, you won't get good things.
She done things she's regretted.
She was in that that HBO "Tell Me You Love Me" miniseries that getting naked and having much more realistic looking sex than pornos, and not so good.
Realistic
there.
Sex in pornos. realistic.
So wait, this is something recent.
About 4 or 5 years ago, the gal who played Penny on Lost was the big star on that show.
That put her in her, late. Penny I remember this.
But I don't like her because she looks like my dad.
Go-Go Gadget.
I see what you did there. I will not look for her on IMDb or on Google Images. Hey, everybody. Scott Johnson here again, talking a little bit about Audible. They're sponsoring the show, and I love audible.com. If you like your audiobooks, your periodicals, your newspapers, your awesome books you haven't read since you were a kid, your unabridged goodness, then you probably already know about Audible and how awesome they are. In case you haven't and you want to get a free audiobook download, you can. I might suggest for you today The Wise Man's Fear, part of the King Killer Chronicles, Day 2 by Patrick Rothfuss. Rothfuss? Hard to say that name. I loved The Name of the Wind, the first book, and I have yet to pick this one up, but I'm going to. I cannot wait. I will be getting it on Audible format, and you should too. Get that or any other audiobook for free simply by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Do it today.
But by the way, the smoking thing is not my observation. It's Joe Esterhaas's observation, and he was almost taken out by throat cancer, and he was a big smoker. And he wrote this essay in 2002 that I think of as the turning point for a lot of smoking in cigarette TV and movies and so forth. And what he went on and on about was how it became a writer's crutch. Like, if you wanted something to look cool, you put cigarettes in everybody's mouths. And he felt like that was kind of obscuring better, you know, what could have been better writing. You need to try harder if that's all you can do.
Well, as a result, you watch something like Mad Men now, and it looks crazy. Like, you see all the smoke and you go, oh, my gosh. But, you know, it's not really that much more than what we used to get. We just haven't gotten it in so long. It just seems bananas for people to be smoking like that. So what you're saying is Mad Men owes their success to Joe Esterhaas, is what you're saying.
Right, who brought us Showgirls, arguably the worst good movie ever made.
Yeah.
No, wait, I'm sorry. The best worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
So, right, it's a circle of life, Simba.
All right.
While we were doing that, I had to look at the Roland Emmerich bio just to kind of get some
idea
on his background.
Yeah.
So – on IMDb, frequently they put like if a director has a trademark, or even actors have trademarks that you see in all their movies. Like Alfred Hitchcock, you know, makes a cameo in almost all his movies. So some of Roland Emmerich's trademarks often features an object crashing into the camera. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Often features this one. Boy, this is so true to him. Often features an insert or a zoom in shot of a villain's eyes widening when meeting demise. Criminy. Yeah. All of his major films have featured a couple kissing in front of a luminous background.
Wow.
And the best one so far, movies frequently feature a scene with rain.
I don't think he can claim that one.
Yeah, but he sure does it a lot.
Yeah,
that's great. Can we find that for every director every week? We should do that.
It would be good to see those actually before and try and find them in the movie. Yeah, like, oh, there's rain. Oh,
fun. Then you can't.
I knew he would do it.
Yeah. Also, in tropes this week, the slimy, cheap hotel manager guy. That guy's always in these movies. Always. Because here's the deal. You're a super soldier, but you're on the run, and regular life looks crazy to you. So you're eating too much at the cafe, or you're checking into a sleazy hotel and don't know the difference between up and down. And the guy's just like, yeah, what are you guys doing? You got a hot night in front of you?
I hated that scene so much.
I know, it was really bad.
Yes.
But that guy's always there. Like, this may as well be a Terminator movie. It may as well be any other number of action movies where to escape, you had to wear funny clothes and check into a cheap motel.
Yep.
Every time.
But don't forget the into a room where a couple has just finished having vigorous sex.
Right.
Usually they interrupt the vigorous sex.
That was my very next one. There was the very next one. Strangers in a hotel room getting interrupted.
But, busting through the wall. It's always busting through the wall.
But why weren't they doing something? Like that was a, I don't know why. I guess
because they had it in their claws.
They were I know it. They just got done. You know what I mean? They were watching late night TV.
They just got done and they were just relaxing when it all
they were
down.
Watching late night TV.
It took them a lot longer to film the scene before that, and that couple actually just finished.
Weird. Awesome. But that happens in so many movies we've seen.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. I wonder how many more we'll see before we're done with this, before we're old men.
You know, I have a little trip here.
Do it. Oh, wait. Do it.
There's always a third party lackey who is always kind of hanging out around all the majors and goes, hey, what do you mean you dropped off the guys a mile and a half away? That's going to take too long.
Dude, oh my gosh.
That's going to take too long.
And this is, I mean.
Mind your own business.
All right. I do not want to rag on Roland Emmerich as a person because I've been made to believe that he's a really nice guy and everybody likes him.
Sure.
And he just happens to, like a lot of directors when they make bad movies like Brett Ratner, Uwe Boll, we also know them to be jerks outside of the filmmaking process, right?
Right.
Whereas this guy, I think he's great. But man, he doesn't know how to tell a story, especially 20 years ago. Like, you don't have to keep telling me they're running on the ground really fast. All you have to do is let me know they were dropped off a mile and a half away. Oh, they got here in 4.5 minutes. And I'm going to go, wow, those guys can run. You don't have to keep saying it again and again. And its whole film is full of that. We see something and then some analyst comes along and tells someone else what we just saw, you know?
Yeah, they even did it with the accent thing. I have a clip for it later, but they kind of explain the accent. It's like, no. We're okay accepting the fact that Van Damme can't do English to save his life. So you don't have to make up some fake thing and explain it to us. Or that his mother's German or French and his dad's just some yokel. And somehow he grew up in that family and decided, I'm going to talk like mom.
That's not the leap that we have to make in this movie.
No.
As a director, you pick your battles, you know, you decide, all right, well, the audience can get by this. Let's go ahead and really push that reanimating dead people angle.
Oh, and can it rain again? That'd be great. Thanks, everybody. we did the Strangers in the Hotel Room. Let's see. They should have called this movie Terminator Blank Stare Edition because I felt like there's a lot of Terminator action going on. It's kind of that same sort of stupid one-liner, no emotions, whatever. Yeah. I feel like they could have played up the whole memory flashback thing to be a little more impactful. Instead, it was just a lot of looking around. It's like a lot of, hey, do. Nothing really hurts. Mm-hmm. I mean, until they were in the fight, and then they're like, oh, this really hurts. But a knife to the back of your calf doesn't seem to bother you at all, especially while you're standing there naked with your dong hanging down, and she's just right behind you.
Is that supposed to be there?
Holy naked Van Damme in this movie. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like, and I feel like he had to get naked every time. Wait a minute. Here's a trope. Give me a trope.
Sorry, I was drinking. Here you go.
So it's really kind of all starts at the Hoover Dam, which is a great example of the Western United States. And then it goes from there in some sort of trippy, like road trip progression. And you go to a Western rural cafe, a rural motel, a rural gas station, a rural truck stop. It's like this tour of all that crap, you know, all that, those different motifs, but they're all the same.
Yep.
And you feel like they just went around the lot and shot from a different direction. Now we're shooting the motel scene. And the whole thing is all dusty, and every scene they're in a different diner, and he's getting naked again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that really? I mean,
except for the socks, he always kept the socks on, which makes me wonder if either has really ugly feet, or he just doesn't like to be cold.
There's nothing worse than a naked guy in socks.
He wanted desperately to be cold. His only goal was to get cold. He shouldn't have kept his socks on.
Look, the only thing worse than a naked guy in a pair of socks is a naked guy with three socks on, if you know what I mean.
just for if you're listening and you haven't seen the film, because of the cybernetics and genetic manipulation that go into Universal Soldiers, they're always in danger of overheating. Mm. So they're constantly in pursuit of cool. They want to get chilled. Or they're going to explode or something.
They're going to have a stroke, they say specifically in the movie.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Basically.
and so
stop
where do we...
looking at the Midwest shots and freaking pay attention.
But they're in pursuit. Where do we set the movie? Nevada.
Arizona, yeah. Mostly, yeah. But yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's supposed to be Nevada the whole time. May as well be Utah. Utah connection by proxy location. I completely agree. I don't think the desert was the place to have overheating robot people. I think that was a big mistake. And it just
these guys have been right. We've reconditioned these guys. We're only going to use them in Canada and
exactly
the frozen tundra, the Yukon.
Do you think Van Damme wore a little patch on his unit, or did he free ball the whole event? What do you think?
Oh man, he totally left it hanging. You know,
you think
he did.
So?
Oh, no, I don't think so. They have things.
I think he wanted to.
Actors have to wear, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He had to wear a patch on the front and a cork in the back, baby.
cork.
No, we were seeing the back. There was no cork. We were looking right up his bum hole two or three times.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. You know, but Van Damme sure's a lot more willing than I remember to get buck naked. I don't remember that, but like almost every movie we've seen other than Street Fighter. He takes an opportunity to show some cheek, at least.
Oh, we knew that.
And we said this is our fourth Van Damme film?
Yeah, fourth. Yeah.
Man, he's naked a lot. Mm-hmm.
No more, though. Okay. Where else are we here? Oh, yeah. Another trope. A lot of tropes here. The old service station with an old guy who's just like, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to hide in this trunk of this car until all hell breaks loose.
Wearing Van Damme's freaking vest. Getting back in the ice trunk. I love all that.
A trunk full of ice.
At first, I was like, why does he need to be in a trunk full of ice? Oh, because they were using heat signatures.
Yeah.
I'm so stupid.
Duh, Brian. Duh.
Duh.
I mean, come on. Duh. Let's see. The glasses shot was awesome where the colonel got shot in the lens there. I thought that was great. I got kind of tired of the ear jokes after a while.
Jeez.
Yeah, that was a little bit overplayed. What'd you think about the semi truck from Time Cop? They, Van Damme brought in.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Like the mobile control unit, you know, the mobile base. That was awesome.
What's weird to think is two things that's weird to think for me. This was Van Damme just 2 years before Time Cop, 3 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And this was Roland Emmerich barely 2 years away from Independence Day. That's a huge jump. Like that was his next big thing was to mm-hmm. know, get this huge big budget movie that in retrospect you're like, oh, I had a bunch of people and a bunch of stars. I'd had the Will Smith and all these other Will Smith was just getting started. So I don't know if I'd call him a big star yet. But that was a big deal. I remember ID4 being this huge marketing campaign. I went to a midnight showing, never been more disappointed in a film in my life at the time, but that's beside the point. It was a huge deal. And I think there are plenty of people that still think it's awesome. But when else are you gonna get Jeff Goldblum? And, you know, one of the, what's his name?
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. Who's the other guy? Hirsch. No, the flew the plane up the butt. Cousin Eddie.
Who? Not Paxton, but Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Oh, Quaid, yeah.
Quaid!
You had Quaid, and you had, I don't remember who the women were.
President Rosalind.
Rosalind was in that film?
Yeah, she was in it.
That's right, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying, regardless of how I feel about his movies, nice job. You know, way to kick it up another notch and then continue to have a lot of success in Hollywood and have your movie still kind of be mediocre and shitty, but have people go and see him in lots of numbers. So, I mean, I really can't hold anything against the guy for his success. I wish I had that same success. Or, you know, how can you complain?
I think I like Independence Day a lot more than you do.
Oh, for sure. I guarantee you like it more than me. I'm pretty sure my cat Henry likes it better than me. I hate that movie for a lot of reasons. One, you know what? That's got to be it. We got to do that movie either this format or we got to watch it.
Ooh, we should watch it live.
I think a bonus sack would be better because I'd enjoy it more while I sat and talked to you guys.
We actually, you might recall, we discussed doing it last year, you know, and sometime in June.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Sorry, you cut out for a sec. Continue, June. No, you're
Cox.
Fine. You're fine. You're fine. Still on Cox? I thought you were off the Cox.
Just gonna from now on whenever Cox. Okay, so or I need to learn how to say it like Cox.
Yeah, Cox.
This is what I get for stranding Cox for decades. This is what I get.
Yeah, I understand. Totally understand. So June, we were gonna do it.
Right. Last year we said we were gonna do it. I think we should do it this year so that we have it in time to put out on the net.
I agree. Why don't we do that before June?
July 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. July, but before July 4th, this is happening. Let's make it official. We are doing a bonus sack of Independence Day and prepare to be blown away by how stupid a virus can be on a System 7 notebook plugged into the bottom of a giant spaceship.
with the cancel button on the dialogue box.
Yep.
In case halfway through they decide, oh, you know what, let's not do this.
They took the time. Goldblum took the time, knowing all he does about chaos theory, to take the time to program a cancel button. Oh, that movie can just suck it. But let's do it. That'll be fun. Okay. Got another trope. Nervous nerd tries to do the right thing at the end to try to save the day, but dies for his bravery.
not his bravery from his stupidity.
Getting his finger caught.
He got his finger caught in the freaking GR-44 or whatever it was.
That was my favorite moment of the film.
He never screamed, never did anything. He just kept trying to get his hand out.
He should have said, the orders are from...
The orders are, let go my hand.
Let go my damn hand and then hold it and then drop it, you big dummy.
By far, my favorite thing in the film was in the diner portion of the motel diner gas station sequence.
Oh, that whole thing. Yeah.
That thing where they decide that he's not going to pay for his meal, obviously. It's a fish out of water thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there he is, and all these guys start attacking him like he's Bruce Lee, one at a time. He's standing there eating a sandwich, fending off people with his other arm. And then they end up drawing him over to the pool table where he finds popcorn and just continues eating.
And this is how they laugh when he, the superior specimen of a human being, says, I don't want to hurt you. And all the fat, slobby, disgusting people who think there's no way this guy could beat us, this is how they laugh. Anyway, just thought I'd
Wow. Well, that's a trope in itself, too. I hate seeing bars and diners like that where you got a bunch of rednecks and everybody thinks they can kick everybody else's ass. I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
Totally, dude. That is as trophy as you get. Because
even Dolph got his turn later on at a bar. At the booby bar, apparently, because they had the neon boobs. Did you see that?
No. When did this happen? I thought it was just in the grocery store.
No. He did that, and then he stopped by some bar asking if anybody had seen Van Damme. Anybody seen Van Damme? And all right, see ya.
Okay.
And some of the guys were like, hey, you think you are, la la la,
where's Harvey Dent, he said when he walked in there.
Yes, he proceeds to kick their asses.
Are you Harvey Dent? So here's my question about that. Maybe perhaps in the director's cut, which I guess does exist, maybe there was more about the strippers. Maybe that's why this is missing.
There's a German's cut that's only 84 minutes long as opposed to the 102.
Really? German's cut?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, there's a German's cut that like cut it way down.
Takes out all the Nazi symbols and replaces it with people pooping on each other.
Dolph Lundgren parts or something, or maybe they hate the French. Maybe they took all the Van Damme parts out.
We are taking out the symbols and we will poop on each other in the end scene. Yavon!
I was just looking on Amazon and Netflix trying to figure out how we could watch Independence Day. And there are three versions of that film.
Oh, no.
And the extended cut and the director's cut are significantly longer than the original.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm just thinking we're going to have some negotiation to get Scott on board with this thing.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind doing one of the extendeds. I just wonder if that will limit the crowd ability to watch. I don't know. We'd have to figure that out.
It'll be whatever's on Netflix. Yeah. And that it's just, oh my gosh. If an extra 14 minutes of gold.
In that 14 minutes, we learn about all the other buttons that were programmed into the virus. Like undo and the help menu.
Right.
Exactly.
how do you start Clippy? The stupid thing?
Lost your password? Click here. Yeah, that kind
the
of
one
stuff.
That brings Clippy up. I see you're trying to put a virus
in a spaceship.
You know how great that would be.
How can I help you?
That would be the greatest thing ever. All right.
They could easily do that too. We could easily extend that. Oh man.
Love the guy getting shot in the glasses. Mentioned that. Michael J. White was in this, and I hardly recognized him. I like that guy. He was the guy played Spawn, and he was also. I forgot his name in Dark Knight, but he was in that as well. Mm-hmm. He was the mobster dude. He's a regular character in the comics, and I always forget his name. It's like Big something. Anyway, once again, Van Damme pants way too high, way up too high.
Oh yeah,
they're either off or up too high.
Yep.
Zero or 100. There's no.
I don't know anything between.
There's no in between for Van Damme. And then one final trope: the spinach moment. We don't get this a lot.
But yeah, I didn't like that. How fast was that?
It was immediate, and so it was really like it may as well be a Brutus or Bluto and freaking Popeye fight at the end where he'd last second go and eat some stuff.
Yeah, there were a couple of spinach moments in this film. Like for example, he's basically dead at the motel in the driveway and laying in the dust. She fills a bathtub with ice. How did she get him in it? I have no idea.
Yeah. Dragged him by the Unisol.
That's all
Unisol in this case.
Maybe, you know, he reveals that he has no idea about the nature of his own penis. Yeah. Like, he's surprised that it's there.
Right.
Maybe it acts as a joystick, and she was able to use that to... But anyway, no idea how she got him into the bath of ice, but once he's in there, he's good to go. Like, as soon as he was in the ice for a few seconds, he's popped out, he's doing things, he's fine.
Yeah, but what was that sound effect again? What was that?
That was Dunaway doing that one.
Oh, missed it. That was really funny. Oh, okay. I just can't get that out of my head. Allie Walker grabbing him by the unit. Hovering him over there. Like
but the
like
bath
a
of ice was a can of spinach. There were others.
Yeah. There were a few spinach moments.
I felt the same way about the instantaneous of it, but then I started thinking it was like an adrenaline shot. It was shot straight into his heart, and that is instantaneous.
Yeah, it is, but it's still what I mean by the Popeye stuff is that it was literally like the Popeye moment where he's getting trashed, he's almost dead, olive oil's outside screaming. I mean, literally, all of that stuff's happening. The only thing we're missing is freaking what's his name asking for I can have a hamburger today and pay you back Tuesday.
So he's
over there fighting with him, and then at one point he takes the shot while he's not looking, just like pulling out a can of spinach out of your pants and eating it, and then turns around and then stops the next punch, twists and breaks it, and then the look on Bluto / Lundgren's face, and all we're missing is it was really dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, all right, let's move on to some clips.
Dumb, diddy, dumb, diddy,
we
dumb,
talk
dumb.
About this stuff all day, but we do have clips. Here is the initial clip. This is in Vietnam, and Van Damme's trying to find out what's going on, and this soldier who's clearly lost it is trying to explain what's happened.
Look at me. Calm down. Calm down. What happened to the others? Look at me.
He's dead. The whole f***ing platoon. The Sarge totally lost it. Went nuts. Killed everyone. Get off me! Let me go! They're all dead! Oh, f***ing God!
Of course, that guy gets a bomb right to the beak.
I love that.
Gets
killed. I love that scene, though.
It was kind of fun.
I've been dead! They're all up and dead!
And too bad. I mean, most of Van Damme's dialogue was dubbed in later and was the wrong tone. kind of calm down. Tell me what has happened. I'm like, come on, dude. Show some excitement. That other guy's losing it.
Well, my split's right here. Give me the script. Okay.
Can you hear me? This is a longer one. I can't remember what this is about. Yeah, it's his first. Oh,
that's the first ear joke.
Yeah, yeah, the first ear joke. Here's, mm-hmm. So here's that whole conversation.
Just want to go home. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Just like the others. You just want to leave.
Like none of this shit ever happened. It happened! And it doesn't just go away! You just can't walk away, do you hear me? Do you hear me?
And he's shaking his little necklace of ears.
That scene was shot in the rain, by the way.
Mm. Oh, that was his trademark.
Yeah, did you hear that? Did you hear that thunder? That was the
there might be somebody kissing in front of a luminous background.
Yeah, there was someone... There were people waving cookie sheets.
And if you didn't notice, there was music going on too. There's a little Vietnamese music. I didn't notice that the first one I was watching.
I hated the soundtrack in the movie, but
really?
More on that later. Yeah.
You did not. Yeah, you cannot tell me that you hated but
no. Hated what?
Everybody go out. Oh, Body Count.
You're back.
Iced tea.
Oh, was that?
That part was good. Yeah. That was the end music.
Right.
Oh, I saw awesome. As soon as credits came on, I got out.
Oh, the credit music was great, but the score for the film was yes. rubbish.
Yes.
The border. All right.
But yeah.
What all right. Cow. This is Allie Walker gets on the microphone and does a little news stint while she remembers to take her cigarette out first, because how terrible would that be? But I was a little surprised by either their intentional thing, which is like, oh, we're kind of in the future and this is how you'll sound, more kind of cool robot sound, or if they just couldn't get the sound right on what a reporter should sound like. Either way, it was weird. So you'll see what I'm saying. But here's her reporting on the big damn thing that's going on.
With nearly 30 hostages held inside the power station at the base of the structure, the gunmen claim that they will not release any of their prisoners until various of their comrades are released from federal penitentiaries across the United States. Checkpoint
2. Additional supply depots required.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought.
That's like that. That's
you know
funny.
What I mean? Kind of robot.
But they were watching that through the trailer cams, right? Unisol's trailer cams.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm in. You know, it's broadcast in general. I think it was supposed to sound like, oh, it's a chick on a news station. But,
yeah,
sounds been, distant or whatever.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if she had kept that adjutant voice for the whole film?
Yes.
Because yes. Because the accent, surely it was a put on her accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not her natural speaking voice.
We've lost Blue Leader. Blue Leader is down. It's all that kind of Star Warsy sound and talk. I would have loved more of that. I vote for what you just said. All right. So there's that.
Do you think that ice was crushed ice or cubed ice? I think cubed ice would hurt.
I think it was actually made of clear plastic.
Mm.
I think it was rock salt.
Do you? No. That's not good for your skin. That's what happened to Lundgren right after this movie. That's why he looks like crap. He was a cool looking guy in his day, man. He's still cool looking. Like,
now he's
shaved head and kind of just terrible looking.
Actually, yeah. Scott, in Expendables, he looks pretty bad.
Really?
He does.
Badass?
Like plastic surgery bad.
Like he's been trying to fit in the Botox set.
Mm-hmm. I hate that. You know who else did that? The guy what played Dr. Cox on Scrubs. You seen him lately?
Man. He doesn't look good anymore.
Looks really bad. And everybody on that Cougar Town show, they all look, well, I mean, they're still kind of hot, some of the women, but they all have the face stuff. And I'm just like, come on, you bunch of clowns.
By the way, Scott, Expendables or Machete?
Ooh, still haven't seen either.
Ugh.
I know. It's a travesty. Which is like a tapestry of my friend Travis. All right, moving on to robots. No, that was her. Innocent. Conversation about who's innocent and who isn't.
He froze up. We can't figure out what happened.
What do you mean, froze up? At the end of the mission, he became completely unresponsive. Did he overheat?
Colonel, he hardly broke a sweat.
GR-44.
Why did you not respond?
What happened?
Innocent.
Innocent?
What do you mean by innocent?
The village was cleared. The girl was innocent, Sarge.
Sarge?
Who the hell's he talking about?
That damn straight. Who are you talking about?
He hardly confused. Broke a sweat. He ran down the Hoover Dam and he hardly broke a sweat.
Worst guards ever.
He was frozen before
worst guards. You couldn't have, there's no cover. It's a giant dam where any object on the dam is going to stick out like a sore thumb. And those guys are rappelling down the back and they're just facing the other way. Deer to deer. It was like a bad solid snake mission.
Yeah. But you got to admit that forward rappelling thing that they were doing down the roof, that was pretty sweet.
That was pretty
bad. I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brian, you and I are going to go get in shape. And and then a couple of years after we start getting in shape, we're going to go rappel.
Do it.
Perfect.
Dude, I'm not far from that dam. You guys could nerdtacular, then off to the dam.
We don't have that kind of time for the getting in shape step, but yeah.
we'll go down the side of the dam much faster if we're not in shape.
Mm. This is true.
Just going.
If I weighed 600 pounds, I guarantee you I would beat you.
Yeah. That's a good point. Fattest guy at the bottom ends of the winner.
Whoa!
Let's see. Shoot it. Oh, I save this as both a something I can play all the time and a clip. I don't know why it made me laugh, but here it is.
Stop the girl. Shoot if you have to.
Stop the girl. Shoot if you have to. Insert tab A into slot B.
Well, you have to be very specific to those guys because he just got through screwing up. That's how Yui got freaking blown away because he just said, get the film, and he didn't specify don't kill him.
So that's a question, actually, and I think I bring this up later in my awards. I can't remember. But if this was off the shelf, as they call it, or anyway, off the radar of regular government, like the actual army has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Who's paying for this? And why are you following orders? If he's not a military guy, then what is this? You're not really in the army then. What are you in? Am I asking too much?
I think you're asking too much.
Right. How do you have the authority to?
How do you have anything? Like, where did this all come from?
Well, obviously, they're not off the shelf. As far as they are still a division of the military, obviously, because the reporters ask them and they're talking about it publicly. It is known as the Universal Soldier Project. That's all that is known. Everything else is hidden.
So it's still being funded by the government.
Still being funded by the government. They just don't understand what it all is.
Okay.
That's what he means by off the shelf.
All right. Well, you know more about this than I care to believe.
Yeah. Well, what can I say? Also, Yui should never have a driver's license. The man drove for 5 feet and ramps the Griswold family car right into a fiery explosion.
Yeah,
none of them should though.
Yeah,
every name a car that was well driven in this film.
None.
That cop in the front who was in front of the police bus and kept cussing. What the hell? What the hell's going on?
What's going on? Slow down, damn it!
Back there.
Yeah, yeah. Way to go, Arizona Police Force. Or the comic versions thereof.
Right.
Shoot if you already did that. How about the bad acting at the base? This is great. This is the worst acting in the movie, I thought. It's a conversation between scientists and military guys, which, you know, never works. It's like sales and technical. They can't get along. And this is proof of that.
Colonel Perry, we killed an innocent man.
What do you suggest we do, Woodward? Let that reporter run off with one of our Unisols?
We can't just cover this up. We have a moral obligation to tell the truth about this.
I thought you were more clever than that, Woodward. This whole goddamn program is off the shelf. Do you really think for one second those wimps at the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers? American soldiers?
I don't think I can be a part of this anymore.
I don't have a stomach for those.
I know it. I quit. I quit. That's it. I quit.
Yeah, and then he threatened him and said, if you quit, you'll be arrested. So it sounds like it's all illegal, and even the Pentagon doesn't know. That's what I'm saying. It's pretty janky.
Yeah. The things they're doing are not aware of, but they are aware that it's a unit and there's stuff going on.
So back in 69, they're like, hold on to those bodies. We got a plan.
That's what I was. That is the one thing.
We might need these in 10
years.
Yeah. It's 25 years later,
according to that, according to the
rules. Thinking, they got to start the project sometime.
When they first show those guys after regeneration, like when they came, or whatever you call it, when they came out and were getting checked by the soldier who does a little quick check before they go to the dam.
Taking roll.
They looked pretty badass. They looked pretty cool.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll give
them
that.
But once again, it's one of those things where Roland Emmerich didn't know what was cool. Mm-hmm. And so he skips from they're dead and they've disappeared to we're seeing them again for the first time, and he just skipped over the most interesting thing that could have been in the film. which is how the hell they were made.
Yeah.
True, I'm glad they didn't.
True
dwell
origin
on that.
Story. I don't know. I could have gone for more.
All I know is I want a shirt that says Roland Emmerich doesn't know what's cool. And then if I ever actually run into him, I'd be like, oh, shit.
How do you give him my jacket? Yeah, totally.
Hello, Mr. Emmerich.
Hello, how are you? Sir. You don't know.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about this friend of mine who happens to have the same name as you.
Yeah, and besides, you're the Angry Tom Birds of film. You could say that. here's the what accent moment. This is, we talked about this earlier, where she's trying to figure out where Van Damme hails from.
Where are you from anyway? Are you from France or Canada? Or I mean, I figured you got to be French or something because of your accent.
What accent?
What accent? I am a dumbass.
I was told. I like that. I thought that was actually funny. It made me laugh.
It was at least an acknowledgement you never get in his movies.
Yeah.
You know, like occasionally it'd be set somewhere where it makes sense. Like he's French Cajun in Hard Target. Still the best Van Damme movie ever made.
Van Doom.
Van Doom.
It's the best way they could do it. What the hell kind of crazy accent is that?
Exactly.
Is that how they talk in Brussels? What?
Yeah. Brussels. Where the hell is that? It's in Belgium. Waffles? Come on.
Right.
Doesn't,
yeah.
Doesn't fly here. Let's see. GR13. I don't remember what this is. Oh, it's him telling GR13 that it's over. It's over. So here it is.
GR13. I said it's over.
My name is Sergeant Andrew Scott.
Right in the left lens crafter's lens, man.
Yeah.
Right in the eye.
The good news is going to take about an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the good news is if they're less than 2 years old, you can take those in. They were priced them at no cost to you.
It's all right. Just pick
yourself. So what happened again?
Pick yourself up. Head to the mall. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it's covered.
Cigarettes are bad. Yeah, can you imagine? It would be fun, actually. This would be a fun way to punk a lens crafters. Get a pair of glasses, shoot a bullet through one of them.
Put a bunch of blood around it.
Yeah, put some blood around it. Take it in. Say, I think, are these still covered? Well, what? Awesome. I love that idea. Where are you, Ashton Kutcher? Make it happen.
Ashton Kutcher? Did you just say Ashton Kutcher?
What is it really? It's Ashton.
I don't care anymore. That's awesome.
Isn't it Ashton Kutcher?
Yes, Ashton Kutcher now.
Yeah, but what is it normally?
Ashton.
It's not Ashton, is it?
Ashton.
Yeah, it's Ashton.
Oh,
it's Ashton.
On the one hand,
that's how CMZ pronounce it.
On the one hand, I got it wrong. On the other hand, that's kind of a good thing. I don't know that much about Ashton Kutcher. I thought it was Ashton Kutcher, like Ashton Martin.
No, like Sean Ashton.
Oh, Sean Ashton, maybe I'm thinking of.
Ashton Martin.
Rudy? Rudi? Remember the movie Rudi? Anyway. Where
starring
did I just
seen Ashton?
Somebody, oh, never mind. Forget about that. There's something else I got to tell you guys about a different day. Let's play the cigarettes are bad for you clip from, I don't remember where it was. Here it is.
I feel like I'm back in high school again. I can't make heads or tails out of any of this stuff. But apparently, whatever they've done to you, it's been done on a genetic level.
The Surgeon General has warned that cigarettes could be hazardous to your health.
Yeah, well, don't believe everything you read.
You know, when she came in to read for that part, I'm sure they just went, you know what? We believe you're a smoker.
You're our girl.
Yeah, you're our girl.
Come on in. Will you show us your boobs? No. Will you wear short shorts? Yes. Okay, you're in.
Can you rub all over Van Damme? All right.
Can you find the secret beeper in the back of his leg for us? Thank you.
Do you have a problem acting right behind Van Damme's ass? Is that a problem for you?
Is that all right? Is it okay if his big French wiener's hanging out right in front of you? Is that all right,
How do you feel about frequent Belgian nudity?
You know, we mean even off the set, because he kind of demands stuff. And
I'm hot. I'm in my character. I'm hot.
I'm so hot. I'm taking off my clothes. I'm a method actor. Wee wee poo poo. money to pay for it. Oh, this is okay. So here starts the three clips I'm going to play that all have something to do with Randy's favorite scene.
Oh, great!
In the restaurant. So this is her trying to figure out if he's going to pay for all that food he's been horfing down over there. Here you go. And by the way, we'll get to that in a minute. Here it is.
You got enough money to pay for all this? You know, money, cash, dollars, dinero.
Dinero? You got any dinero?
Any Robert De Niro?
Any Robert De Niro? Well, she's responsible.
Yeah, a little bit.
Got any Franks?
We need you to act like Flo, lady. Can you do that? Sure, you're in.
And he never actually says that he doesn't have the money. So why do they all attack him immediately?
I don't know.
Nuts on him, and all he's doing is not talking. What if he happened to be a mute and he's just looking around for something to write on?
Have you given him the bill yet? Oh, maybe you should start with that.
Yeah. I know it. So how'd this go down, ma'am?
Movie has two Fifth Element connections. One, it's got the black dude, what was the president, Tiny Lister. And it also has this scene where the weird central character is chowing down on food as if they've never eaten in their life before.
Yeah.
Like What's-Her-Name did. The problem with this, you can get away with it in Fifth Element. The problem with this is, what do they feed him otherwise? Of course they eat. Suddenly it's like, mashed potatoes. What's this? Oh, I'm nom.
He gets everything via the needle
green neon stuff. That's what happens in every movie. It's like, okay, we need to give him something. We need to give him a shot of something. What color should we make it? Neon green, radiated.
Mm. All right.
Closed and dark.
I captured the same lady yelling for the cook in the back, and that's all I captured for this clip. So here she is yelling for Hank. There you go.
Hank!
Man.
Pretty bad. I know. You don't want to hear it more than twice.
But you need to put it on your soundboard, so if ever in the future someone says the name Hank on this show, you can have it at the ready.
And I can do like... just like that. She's also the one that laughed. No, that woman. That woman gives me the creeps.
Well, at least she didn't slave over making that food all day long. Yeah.
That was pretty witty rapport.
Well, here, I got him saying that. Well, no, I don't have him saying about the slop. No, I do, actually, I think, anyway. Well, he says he doesn't want to... This is where Van Damme says he doesn't want to hurt him, and that's where she laughs. But this is also the cook threatening. So here it is.
Hey, punk, I've been slaving all day making that slop.
That food is good.
F***ing it is. Question is, how are you going to pay for it?
I don't know.
You don't know. Ain't that cute? I'm going to bust your head, punk.
I don't want to hurt you.
There's that laugh again. Let's see.
Okay, I guess he does say that he wasn't planning on paying for it, or he didn't know how he was going to pay for it.
Giant muscle-bound French-looking dude who ate 10 plates of food, and you're laughing at him.
Like, yeah,
I'd be versus
old Hank who cooks all day for a living, a little bit overweight.
Yeah, we know him.
Back off, buddy.
Back off, Hank, bastard.
By the way, there is a great straight dope article that's easy to find online that asks and answers the question: what's the origin of the phrase F and A? Like with that letter A?
Oh, F and A. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that about? It's a great article.
Well, it's read it. It's like F and ass, right? I mean, is that the whole... There's probably more to it.
You got to read the article. But there is a side question everybody has to find an answer to, which is, why do we shorten the second word here? What are we...
Yeah.
Why do we
get away
around
with the F word? Come on.
Yeah, whatever A stands for must be worse, right?
Isn't there there's a Hudson moment in Aliens where he does that? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
That's perfect for
that's right.
For
yeah, Bill he Patton. Uses it at the beginning as a prefix of a sentence. It's like F and A, right?
Yeah,
it's a really common phrase for rednecks in films.
Yeah. Like when he said,
"You're no longer needed here, asshole."
Wrong guy. Hold on. Sorry.
That is good though.
What happened to him? Oh, I can't find him. Anyway, he said something in was it not Mnemonic? Predator 2. That is similar to that, and I can't find it, so forget it. Oh no,
who the hell is King Willy?
You know, that guy. Yeah. You can hear him going, F and A, man, F and A. You can totally hear it. Anyway. All right, Hank. I mean, not Hank.
Hank!
That will only get better.
Trust me. That's the reason why Hank was really so pissed when he came out, because he was like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's his wife.
Yeah, that's right.
And he has to go home with that.
He has to go home with Flo.
You'd be mad too.
So Jerry Orbach took some time off of his first. No, he wasn't on Law and Order yet, so never mind. But anyway, this guy, same year, 92, did voice of the candle in freaking
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah. So he took some time out to do this. A well thought of, highly sought after stage actor and a well respected guy came in to say something dumb like this.
Trauma inflicted at the time of death. In Luke's case, he wanted to go home. When he awoke as a Unisol, he returned to that single emotion. As for Scott, he thinks he's still in Vietnam fighting the insurgents. He doesn't realize he's alive.
He's not. He's dead.
Oh my gosh, dude. Freaking.
Be our guest.
Be our guest. Made from real gorilla.
Do the test.
So there's that. He was underused and dumb. That was dumb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He probably got $50.
The video, $50.
$50 and a plate of Flo's slop.
Special.
I'll tell you though, those hamburger buns look really fresh though. Did you guys think that?
I thought all the food looked fine. That's what I'm saying. Slaving over this, you know, Hank's full of crap. The food looked fine.
Yeah. We're supposed to believe that that reanimated dead soldier Luke is ordering something different every time. Why are they just bringing in the same plate of stuff over and over?
Can
and
I
over
get
again?
The sampler platter?
Yeah. Oh,
you
how
think
about
this?
The...
is Chili's? This exactly. isn't Chili's.
Thing is, the girl could have paid for all of it. Why didn't they just ask her or wait for her to come back in? She was just out on the payphone.
Yeah. I hate that. They do that a lot in movies where the person who's supposed to be taking care of the retard goes out, you know, some kind of altercation comes into play.
That's awesome. So. It happened in Terminator 2. Remember, we went and got the biker clothes from the dumb biker rednecks, and it always happens. All right, you'll never get your ears back. I don't remember the quote, but this is right near the end.
So many things I remember, so many things I can.
Oh, I know what it is. Okay, he whispers this whole conversation, and at the end, I think he says, "I'll never get those ears back." Because of the whole ear necklace thing. I know that's not what he said,
but that's what he was thinking.
Like, that's what I thought of. So sorry, let me start it over. This is him whispering this little conversation, and it really cracked me up when I heard it.
So many things I remember, so many things I can't.
It has been 25 years.
Such a long time, 25 years. I'll never get those ears back.
See?
Yeah.
I'll never get those ears back.
It does. It sounds exactly like that. That's funny.
I know it's years, but still. I love that.
Brilliant.
It's great. That's excellent. It's a weird thing to find. All right. And then this terrible, stupid joke right before the chipper scene that is the only kind of one-liner I decided to pull out today. And it's...
really?
Yeah. It's an a-hole joke. A lot of a-holes in this movie.
Oh, great.
So here you go.
Say goodnight, asshole.
Good night, asshole.
There you go.
Nice.
That's it. So just for fun here, I want to play. See, I got to have all these lined up. All right, here we go. I want to play the last three a-hole references we have in Film Sack in succession. So here we go.
Okay.
Number one.
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
You're no longer needed here, asshole.
Say goodnight, asshole.
Goodnight, asshole.
All right, there you go.
That is awesome.
I didn't mean to hit her again.
She loves it. She loved it.
She did. That was the best ending.
All right, that's it for clips. We got some quotes coming from Scott Fletcher here shortly. But before we do that, I think it is time we move on to the Film Sack Awards. And this is our chance to give away a few awards to some of the sillier, dumber moments in the film. Best gunshot wound to the colonel with an eye. Shot? What? I can't read my own writing. Best gunshot wound to the colonel with an eye. I don't know what
I think there's an award crack in there somewhere.
The bad service award goes for the lady tossing food on the table. Even the first plates. Just toss them on the table. Best needle through the face award goes to dude in the cooler room. That was pretty good. Best standing there way. Oh, no, I know what it is. Best standing three-way high kick goes to Dolph Lundgren. That was awesome.
Yeah. Had his hand behind his back and everything.
That was pretty rad. Best instance of getting one's finger caught in hand of soldier holding a grenade goes to that guy.
I could watch 15 minutes of that guy trying to pull his hand out.
It's really funny. And I remember thinking, oh, it doesn't end this way, does it? This can't be it for that guy. There's no way. And then, boom, dead.
Obi-Wan. By the way, it was outside shot from the truck, and it was like, the truck just barely moved. Like,
But by the way, this film solves the Brian Dunaway confusion that we've had in many films about, if you have grenades, why don't you use them? They're an easy way, you know, to take someone out. Dude, yeah. At the beginning of the film, dude takes out a young woman with a grenade.
She's running away.
She could have killed her with a stick, you know? No, he'd go with the grenade every time.
And he was really good at timing them. Like, he'd throw them at car tires, or truck tires, and they'd blow up right, you know, right when he hit it instead of rolling off
somewhere.
And
weren't those all old school Vietnam grenades? Because aren't the fracture grenades more common?
Well, now the ones now are all smooth, and they used to be like pineapples back then, right?
I'm bouncing it backwards.
I don't remember. I don't know how that works.
They reanimated the dead grenades, too.
Yeah.
No, Unigrenades. Grenadasols. That's it.
Grenadasol.
Let's see here. Best, I already did that one. Obi-Wan Award, I'm going to give it to Jerry Orbach, despite him barely being there. But he was that guy. He's like the War Games guy that kind of retired and then suddenly gets pulled back in. Mm-hmm. The worst force to ever send in, ever. The mall cops at the grocery store.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Great. Pop, 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 dead.
So dead.
Best Maid with ESP Award goes to the maid who knew if he turned on the TV, there would be stuff on there he needed to hear. Have you guys noticed that? Because he gets pulled out of the room. Orbach gets pulled out. She whispers, goes, I believe there is something you need to see. No. And then he goes wandering over to the TV, turns it on. She didn't have it on already.
Right.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
The magically appearing 200-man police force award goes to the magically appearing 200-man police force.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Showed up behind the bus. That was really stupid.
All the big police forces show up late in this film, like the, you know, the ones that show up late in Vietnam. And say, oh, what happened here? And then the mall cops. Oh, hey, what's going on here?
Yep,
they're all you know, poorly timed.
The Sandra Bullock the poorly stereotyped Sandra Bullock character award goes to Ali for her little thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack grade, I'm giving this an F. I hated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, soundtrack or the score?
Score.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm not thinking of all the extra songs and stuff. I just mean, you know, the score. And I thought the score was bad. Oh, I don't know what that was.
My egg is done.
Where did that come from? Was that me?
Ice is finished.
I would like to give a special award to whoever got the mini guppy into the movie. Like, I don't know if it was footage from something else, and maybe it was old, but it looked like it was filmed for this film. I'm talking about this old four prop cargo plane that they gave a lot of loving shots to.
Yeah, they
at the beginning of the film.
My wife kept saying, "Where's the windows?"
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What plane was this?
That was it's a mini guppy. It was it's made by a group called Aero Space Lines, and I hadn't seen one in so long. I had to look it up to remember what the hell it's called.
I've never seen it.
It was beautiful, just beautifully shot, a beautiful looking plane. It was clearly not, you know, there were nothing special. They just flew in a mini guppy, you know. So it was actual you know, working aircraft. It was that was probably the best thing in the film.
Did you feel like it was kind of a, I mean, did it feel kind of like they meant to do more with it because that would be hard to get and expensive to maintain or whatever, but they just didn't use it? Because I don't even remember seeing it.
I imagine some producer going, I got a buddy who's got, you know, the ability to fly in this really unusual cargo plane for you, you know, like, you're just going to go.
With a big truck in it.
Yeah,
I forgot all about the plane. That's interesting. All right, let's do a Twitter post. This is where in 140 characters or less, you three say what you think about this film. Sum it up, Randy Jordan.
Universal Soldier, a road trip movie combined with a boy meets girl romantic comedy gone wrong. My prescription, more countertop leg splits, fewer old men in leather fetish cowboy hats.
Nice. Brian Dunaway.
Oh, Universal Soldier made me ask, what's a code zebra? A black guy spoon and a white dude spoon another black guy? Nope, that's a code Oreo, moron. the only good soldier is a dead regenerated soldier.
Wow.
Moron.
Moron. That's a moron. That's code Oreo, moron. Can we make that a shirt? That'd be great. And then finally, Mr. Brian Ibbett.
Universal Soldier, action that could have been actioner, sci-fi that could have been sci-fier, and thrills that could have been thrillier. For me, this movie was universally meh.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I kind of agree. Like it's poo.
I liked it. Watch it.
Listen, here's what I learned while you found yourself tangled up in some pretty nasty farm equipment in the rain. Don't look now, but right behind you on that huge dam, there are two dudes rappelling in order to make you dead. Naked Van Damme has no shame.
Mm-mm.
I also learned Universal Soldiers can't tell real people from cardboard cutouts. That was stupid. Those are not super soldiers who can't tell that was not a dude to shoot.
Right.
When responding to a fire, make sure you leave no one in the highly sensitive command center truck thing.
Yeah.
They just empty that thing out and let Van Damme have his way with it. Eek! There's a Lundgren in the back seat. let's see. If you cross Dolph, he might take your belt. That was great when he took that guy's belt.
I loved it. What do you do with it? They never responded after that.
Nope.
No.
And then finally, no one who lived in 1969 aged at all by the time 1992 rolled around. And that's what I learned while you guys were getting chopped up. Let's do an email from a listener. Got one from Cameron from Glendale, California. These come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. He says, Goonies versus Monster Squad from the one about Johnny Mnemonic. I've seen both movies, and there are two things that would definitely tip the scales in favor of the Goonies. DVD commentary with full cast and Cary Grant. Full cast? Because wasn't River Phoenix in that movie, or am I remembering that wrong? Oh, I'm thinking of Stand By Me.
You're thinking,
he was not in Goonies.
Yeah, Stand By Me is what I'm thinking of. Yeah, but what's his name was in both? Fat kid who's now not
Corey,
fat.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman was.
Feldman was, but wasn't also the other guy that was in Sliders?
Chunk? Oh.
Jerry O'Connell?
Jerry O'Connell, no.
No.
Is he in there? No.
I know. I know he's at least, he's for sure in Stand By Me.
No, but strangely enough, he was on the DVD commentary, and they all were, you know, he'd say these things about the making of the film, and they'd all
so when we were doing, we were doing Sliders, and this guy who plays Gimli, he showed up. Anyway.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to hear a DVD commentary with that. You weren't even in this movie.
You know, the guy from Sliders, the Bad Dates Indian.
Gimli.
What I say?
That's awesome, dude. No, it's just awesome. You played Gimli.
That's all I think of now.
So out of the blue.
I can't watch Indiana Jones without going, oh, yeah, dude, what plays Gimli? Mm. Every time. Bad Dates. Indy. Oh, snakes. Anyway. Let's get on out of here. Scott Fletcher has a couple of quotes to play before we do, and these are they. I'll start with number one.
Don't tell me what to do, soldier. I give the orders around here, and you're going to have to learn that.
I just couldn't take him serious if he talked like that.
That would have been better, actually.
I agree. Number two.
Not under my command. You're growing weak. You should have taken your medication.
I knew he would do that line.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I just knew it.
That'd be fun sometime to predict. But I wonder if he enjoyed. I always try to ask, and he usually tells me, but I forgot to ask if he enjoyed this movie at all. He usually say, "Oh, I thought Predator 2 was better than I thought it was going to be," or whatever. But he didn't say on this one. Number three, check quote number three.
She's a traitor. I gave you an order to kill her, and now you must fulfill that order, Private.
I don't remember that line.
Now, does Fletcher censor himself before sending you the file?
Yes, he bleeps his own bleepers out.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to send him a script that's purely G-rated, and then I'm going to censor it.
And then you're just going to bleep out stuff.
Yeah.
Every time he says furry face or something, just keep the little
exactly.
in it. That's a great idea. Love that idea.
It makes me want to see, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on the list just so he can do the Steve Martin rental car diatribe.
I love that movie so much. One of my favorite movies of all
time.
I
do too.
And then he sent this. Scott Fletcher, I don't know where he got this, but he sent this. Just kidding. He didn't say
that. Right? What?
That's going to do it for FilmSack, folks. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for the email. Those emails come to us at filmsack@gmail.com. We do like to read them, so keep them coming. The website to visit is filmsack.com. On Twitter, we can be found at twitter.com/filmsack. Next week, oh, by the way, Mission Deep, Extra Life, Randy Deluxe, and Coverville as well. Mm-hmm. if you're not following all of us anyway, I don't know what's going on.
Where have you been, people?
Where have you been? Next week's film, I was going to have that up, and I don't. Hold on a second here. I have it written down on our list. Poop.
Poop. Next week's film is Poop.
Hold on. Film Sack. Here
we
go.
Are we watching the director's cut or the...
next week's film is Flash Gordon, right?
Yes. Oh, that's right. We're finally going to watch the Flash Gordon. Now, this is again
this is not a bonus sack.
No, this is a full-blown episode, but it, once again, is not on streaming currently. So we recommend people get it to rent. A lot of people already did because we kind of messed up timing on that other one. A lot of you have already seen it. But if you haven't, try to get Flash Gordon.
Who's the primary actor in that movie? I'm trying to remember.
Sam Jones.
Sam, I don't know if I'm more shocked that it's Sam Jones or that Ibbitt knew that.
Dude, I loved this movie as a kid.
Really?
I was fishing for who. Yeah, I was fishing who the nerd was in this one. So.
Here, let me tell you what my memory of it is. My memory of that movie is guy getting his eyes gouged out and it looked like jelly.
Oh, yeah.
And the Queen soundtrack. And that's all I remember.
Mm. All I remember is Max von Sydow and Timothy Dalton.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Mm. I just realized, I don't know if I have a way to capture, I don't know, it's a technical issue, I'll deal with it.
God, dude, I hope you do, because like it's the scoring of that film was done by the band Queen.
Oh yeah.
And
what is that?
You're not saying Queen?
Is that Queen? A bunch of ladies? I don't understand. Is that a guy with a mustache and a hair lip? Who is that? I don't understand who that is. No, I love the Queen, and I think this, if people haven't seen this, I mean, that was the big thing, the selling point. Even as a kid, I remember the whole thing was, oh, Queen did the soundtrack, everybody. It was a big deal. Yeah. So watch for that. Big Trouble in Little China right after that. RoboCop finally going to be on this show.
Yay.
Jason X.
Yay.
Dude, RoboCop. No, I'm excited. I'd buy that for $1.
I'm totally excited for RoboCop.
Yeah, you'd buy that for $1.
That was genuine.
Genuine.
That was a genuine yay.
It's our first Verhoeven film, isn't it? Have we seen any other Verhoeven films? We haven't seen Total Recall yet. So yes.
Not only is it our first Verhoeven film, we're starting with a doozy, you know?
Yeah, big one. Agreed. Mm. And they're about to reboot this one, so it'll be fun to get it now while we can before we hate that they redid it. and a bunch more. We got all kinds of crap coming. I see somewhere in the distance, if I squint really hard way on the horizon, I see Action Jackson over there somewhere.
Oh.
Randy suggested this one and it immediately just screamed at me and said, dude, it's Apollo. It's the guy. It's the man. Yes. It's the guy with one arm in Predator shooting in the air for no reason. I cannot wait for Action Jackson because I never saw it before. So I'm stoked. Can't wait for that. Anyway.
There was another one that was even more so. What was it?
I don't know. We still
Every Which Way But Loose?
Oh, that's on there too. Number 71 will be Every Which Way But Loose. That's got a monkey in it. And also an ape. Let's
see what it No, it was Quigley Down Under. That was the film that I just thought, this is Scott Johnson's wheelhouse. Quigley Down Under.
Yeah, it's got a guy in it.
Tom Selleck?
Our second Tom Selleck movie on Film Sack. Weird. Bring in the floater is what I say. That's a throwback that you people may not remember. Don't forget, leave us some reviews on iTunes. We love those. That's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you next week again for the fine film that is Flash Gordon. Can't wait. So be there then. Until then, everyone have a wonderful week. Thank you for being here. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. See you next time.
All right, everybody, Hank on three. 3, 2, 1. Hank!
Hank!
Oh, where's Hank?
Hank!
We've Body got count. Scooters.
I have man love for a lot of people.
Is it a cop like me? Does it look like Popeye?
Are you talking about a real thing?
Lethal Weapon.
Predator also. Okay.
What do we do with the Whaler?
And how are the Duck?
The Warriors.
West Side Story.
The Warriors.
The Ghost in the Darkness. Californication. A whole bunch of 24 episodes. Lost in Space. Nightmare on Elm Street. The Dream Child.
Commando.
Commando.
In the original Predator.
Drop Zone of that Apprentice show.
The Apprentice.
Running Man. The second Predator versus Aliens thing. Batman versus Predator.
The Survivor Predator Island Predator 6. A movie Predators. Called Predator.
Predators.
Which was Survivor Predator Island.
Piano Guy. The Pianist. Splice. The Pianist. Good Morning America. Good Morning America.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park.
Crocodile Dundee. Crocodile Dundee.
Terminator 2. Judgment Day. Aliens. Terminator 2. Terminator 2.
Krull's Blade.
Iron Man.
Krull's Blade. Rush Limbaugh.
Firefly. My Bodyguard.
Card,
Miami Vice,
Perch of One,
Jeopardy,
Jeopardy, Jeopardy, Fifth Element,
Batman, Silverado,
E.T.,
Cleopatra, Christmas Story, A Christmas Story,
Aliens versus Predator, Lethal Weapon versus Predator,
Flash Gordon,
Flash Gordon,
Xanadu,
Dances with Wolves,
Johnny Colonic, Trespass,
Trespassers,
Shawshank Redemption,
Trespass,
Fifth Element, Fifth Element,
Grown Ups,
Universal Soldier, Universal Soldier, Universal Soldier,
Beauty and the Beast,
Beauty and the Beast, The Law and Order.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.